Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the Isaac Newton Institute podcast. My name is Dan Aspel. Today's episode is the fifth in our series interviewing recipients of the Simons Postdoctoral Fellowships in Mathematics. Today's guest is Annika Madhusudanan. Annika is part of the Mathematical Aspects of Turbulence program, and we very much hope you enjoy hearing about her experience so far. Okay, so I'm sitting down here with Annika Madhusudanan. I've tried my very best. Could you give us a proper pronunciation of your name, please?
That's very good. It's a pretty good pronunciation, Annika Madhusudanan.
Lovely. Okay. We're sitting down here today because you are one of the new Simons Fellows, and we've been interviewing every one of you who has come to the Institute so far. And I'd love you to tell me a little bit about how you came to find that and how you're enjoying it so far. But I guess, first of all, how are you enjoying Cambridge? How long have you been here now?
So I've been in Cambridge for almost a month because I got here a little bit before Christmas, and I've been enjoying it very well. It's a very pretty city, and it's very different too. So I flew over from California, Pasadena, and it is incredibly different. So I am... of course, both cities have their own positives, but it's nice when you just make that shift and it's a whole new world.
Mm. So is that where you've most recently come from?
Most recently, yes.
Wow.
So I was in Pasadena for a postdoc in the last 1.5 years.
Mm.
So, yes.
And whereabouts were you based when you were there?
Caltech.
Caltech?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a big name.
Oh, well.
How was your time there? Well, is it a year and a half or so? Was that a positive experience for you?
It was. So getting there was hard because I happened to finish my PhD pretty much right before COVID started. And I had an offer, I had a visa, but I just couldn't get to the country because everyone had closed down the borders. So the getting there part was a little hard. But and of course, the first... 8 months, I think, I didn't see the campus at all. So it was basically work from home. But it was a very positive experience. And the last few months in campus was incredible. Except, of course, I felt like I was leaving just as I had started. But that was pretty much the story for everyone who started anything during the pandemic.
I really hope that when people listen to recordings like this in the future, it will seem like a bizarre time capsule of a very unusual time,
yeah.
And that this kind of thing isn't regular or doesn't happen again, because it is so odd. You know, you have these amazing opportunities. You spent a year and a half at Caltech, and now here you are here, and things are starting to... We've had a lot of activity over the last 2 years. A lot of it's been virtual, some of it's been hybrid. We have had a lot of people physically in when appropriate, but it only now seems like the pandemic is reaching its... final stages. It feels very much that way here.
Mm.
I mean, feel free to laugh, anyone who's listening to this in the future. but it's really harsh. It's really harsh on anyone who's had these amazing opportunities in that period.
It is. And actually, so you're talking about how people would find it strange. I find it strange thinking back upon it. Like, it seems sort of surreal because it was a different world. Everyone was locked down, and it didn't seem so strange back then while it was happening, because that seemed normal. It's incredible how quickly normal changes for us, and now that things are getting back to normal, it seems like that was a completely different world, and it almost seems like I'm reading a book while thinking back upon that time.
Yes, watching someone else's life somehow.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, once I started going back into office, I used to remark, I can't really imagine working from home throughout a day, but I did it for 8 months. But yes, that's...
Yeah, I was having in our previous conversation in this series, we were talking about that feeling of becoming used to that behaviour and looking back on it and it feeling unreal, I think. Yes, it was just exactly the same sort of feelings we're having now. So your time in Pasadena... You were there, it was only at the end where things became like more physical involvement, I think it's fair to say. What was your experience like of the pandemic there? I don't know how much you've heard about how it's been in Britain. Was it a similar kind of a thing with sort of strong lockdowns, waiting for the vaccines, trying to unlock it at every at the first opportunity that it was safe to do so?
It was actually. It was, I think, very... So I have friends here who was going through lockdowns here. I must say there are differences, but on a large scale, it was very similar. And I also, my comparison at that point was, so I flew in from Melbourne, and I flew in from a much stricter lockdown back in Melbourne. Mm. But essentially, the things you could do was pretty much the same. Well, you could stay in your apartment, that's all you could do. So I would say it was very similar, at least between Melbourne and Pasadena at that stage of the pandemic, before vaccines were even on the horizon. I would say it was very similar. Experience was very similar.
Well, as I say, hopefully there is cause for optimism for all of us from this point onwards.
It does look positive. I mean, there are people, like, I'm sharing the office with another person, which was that wasn't even a question that came onto the table when things were just getting back to normal, because you couldn't share your office with anyone. That was one of the conditions of coming back to office. But now I have someone in the office, which seems very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. You can work together. You could go swimming at lunchtime. You can go to the cinema in the evening. Yeah, it's, exactly. It feels special, doesn't it? These everyday pleasures. Yeah. That's great. I mean, because working together is the core of what I&I is about. Mm. You said that you'd gone to Pasadena from Melbourne. Can you give me a little précis of what your life in maths has been like?
So my life in maths hasn't entirely been in maths. I did an undergraduate in physics in India. And then I actually did a master's in mathematical sciences, or applied math, in Bristol in the UK. I moved it took a short 1 year break in between that, and then moved to Melbourne for my PhD. And that was in mechanical engineering, actually. So although these do seem like entirely different fields, I did have a common thread. I was always working on fluid mechanics. It's strange how different departments work in the same... Like, you can't switch departments without too much trouble. And then I moved to Pasadena, where I was in the department of... graduate aerospace laboratory. So aerospace engineering was the department. But I was still doing the same thing. And now here, which is now an applied math department. So that has been my journey through... math or physics or one of those.
And of course you're working on the mathematical aspects of turbulence program, which fits exactly with your
experience. Does so I did my PhD in turbulence. I did my postdoc in turbulence, so that it does fit. Yes.
Well, that's so exciting. So this must have been of great appeal when you saw this advertised or saw the opportunity. How did you find out about the Simons Fellowship?
I have my postdoc supervisor to entirely thank for that. So she, Professor Beverly McKeon, she is one of the organizers of the workshop. And she forwarded me the advert. So it was as simple as that, finding it. And she's the one who encouraged me to apply. So All thanks to her for me being here.
That's wonderful, and that's such a common occurrence.
It is.
It's so nice to hear that friendly and professional networks within the sciences are how most opportunities arise. So, I mean, that's such an interesting thing for people younger than yourself to hear, I think, that it's just very important to meet and know people.
It is. It is also how I found my first postdoc with Professor McKeon. I attended a conference where she happened to be there. I talked to her and I asked her if I can work with her later on, and that's how it worked out. So it's actually, so coming into, I wasn't particularly good, I still am not particularly good at networking, but you do get better at it. And
very few people say they are good, and it sounds pretty awful if they do, doesn't it?
true. But
no one admits to being good at networking.
But some of us, I think, I'm being particularly bad, and I might be there. It's helpful that the people you're trying to network with are very friendly. They are actually trying to help you, and that's something that you learn, which makes it easier. So all my supervisors, they were trying to help me, so talking to them was easier than So networking isn't as hard as it seems like on the outside, I guess.
Yeah.
But and it is definitely what helps us get advice, get jobs. Very much true, yes.
Yeah. Can I ask a little bit about your journey into maths and physics before higher education? So am I right in saying that you grew up in India?
Not entirely. So I grew up, part of it was in India and part of it was in the Middle East, which is where my dad kept shifting between different countries in the Middle East. So the longest I've stayed in any place is like 4 years. That's been maximum. And that was half my life. I blamed that on my father and the rest half is completely on me.
So the pandemic's hit you particularly hard. If you're used to
used to traveling back and forth, at least between India, wherever I am. I've made that travel pretty often, and now it's been 2 years since I've traveled back to India. That's a first for me. Mm. But it's been 3 years for my husband since he's visited back home, so I can't really complain, can I?
But yes, I've focused on your where you've grown up, which, as it turns out, is a fascinating and complicated answer. What about your... were you drawn to these subjects from an early age, do you think?
I did like math and physics. I did want to do an undergrad in physics as early on as probably what for me is 10th grade, which I'm not entirely sure how to translate that into other education systems. So,
secondary school, is that early teenage or...?
Early to mid-teenage, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Right, sure.
And that basically just subjects in school fascinated me, and I liked reading, and someone just at random pointed out, it's a very cliche journey into science, actually pointed out Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking, and I read that, and that got me to an undergrad in physics. And somewhere in between the undergrad in physics, I read a book called Chaos by James Gleick, which sort of fascinated me about everyday problems. Like fluid mechanics is something that's everyday. Like you open a tap and water flows out of it. It's turbulent, and it's fascinating that you can see it. It's all there. You still can't explain it entirely. You still can't model it. You still can't get all the details of it without an incredible amount of effort. And that fascinated me, that there are things that I can see, everyday things that are still unexplained. And that would probably be what got me into fluid mechanics, and eventually mathematical aspects of turbulence. Yes.
Mm, wow. I mean, that's wonderful. And then to see yourself here on Professor Hawking's campus, until his passing not so long ago, this was where he was based. Mm. That must be an exciting feeling. And it's wonderful to hear that journey. And there's obviously such excitement on your face, which I won't describe in detail to the listener, but it's just really wonderful to be part of this journey for you. So now that you're here, you've been here for 3 weeks or so, and you're going to be splitting your time between the Newton Institute and the Programme on Mathematical Turbulence and the Faculty of Maths.
Yes.
So I think you're going to have half a year attached to each one.
Half a year in INI, and half, which is, of course, Isaac Newton Institute, and half a year at DAMT.
Yeah, so applied maths and theoretical
applied
physics.
Applied maths, yes.
Yeah. Wow, great, really exciting. And there's a couple of questions that beyond this I'd like to ask. And one is that there are other people who are on exactly the same fellowship as you here. So you've got your peers, and then you've also got the other members of the programme, many of whom will be from a variety of stages in their careers, some of whom will be very senior, some middle and some early, I suppose. So how's your interaction so far, as very small as it's been, because you've only been for 3 weeks? How's that gone with those various groups of people? How are you finding the interactions?
So it's incredible that there are not too many people at INI right now, because the program did go virtual. But
certainly for this month, at the very least.
For this month. From next month on, it is going... I think it's going back in person, the next workshop on, but I might be wrong there.
This is a result of the, in mid-December, the rise of Omicron was
Omicron,
obviously a huge concern.
Yes.
Across the world. And as it transpires, it's been a lot less severe for many different reasons than predicted. So this month, virtual, things returning
back in person. Back to normal. Yes. But it's incredible that even with the few people over here, I've gotten to talk to people, to interact with people. And so, of course, some people whom I knew before. It's also been, so although the person working in the same office as me, Antoine, who's given an interview last week.
He was the person before you in the series.
Yes. So we've been talking to each other and we've been discovering that both of us work in turbulence, true, but both of us have been working in completely parallel worlds. If it wasn't for I&I, there's no way our paths would have crossed because we attend different conferences, we publish in different journals, but essentially we both work on the same topic. So that's been something that's really struck me, how different our languages are, although we're talking about the exact same problem. And that's also a concept that's been coming up in I&I, how I think the way they phrase it is how engineers and mathematicians are going to talk. And in that framework, I think I'd be the engineer and Antoine would be the mathematician. That's the sort of communication I haven't had before. So all the conferences are very specific. All the conferences you tend to attend are very specific. Mm. You tend to meet people who are working in very... I didn't know this before, but after coming here, I've realized that we were working on very similar things. Everyone in a conference is working on very similar things. Mm. But conversations over here tend to be longer, more detailed, and you're talking with people who are working on... who have completely different ideas, which is it's incredible. It's been very new to me.
Yeah, and that's a lovely way of expressing it, because it's that mingling of different viewpoints which definitely leads to all the outcomes.
Definitely. Yes, it's a completely different viewpoint and the same problem. So there should be benefits to learning about each other's viewpoints.
Excellent. Do you feel relaxed around the more senior members of the program that you've spoken to so far?
Relaxed is, well, it is relative. So I am more relaxed than I was as a first year PhD student, I'd say. Mm. And that's, I guess, the more comfortable you get with what you're working with, the more comfortable you'd be talking with people who are more senior to you, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I'm not entirely there. But yes, more relaxed than I was as a first year PhD student. Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been a real treat. It's a beautiful day today. Are you going to be taking advantage of anything in Cambridge over the next few days? I mean, it's Monday morning, in fact. So what does the week hold for you? Anything exciting on the horizon?
Oh, well, right now, when you ask me that, the only thing I can think of is my move that's coming up on Wednesday.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's, I guess, a little bit too early in the week for me to plan things. But things I like doing are generally going for these long walks, and I actually saw very pretty parts of the campus yesterday. The Mathematical Bridge, I think.
Far from here. Yeah.
Yes, it took me 3 weeks to get there, but I did finally get there yesterday. I'm still exploring the city, which takes me a while because I have absolutely no sense of direction. so it's discovery every time I go, even though it's the same place.
Well, Cambridge, it's not laid out in any kind of grid system, which I'm not saying that would be familiar with your previous homes, because I know you've lived in Bristol, and that's also very similar to Cambridge, yes. And there's no real system to it. But yes, it defies immediate and clear understanding, I think, and yeah, rewards a lot of exploration. So I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself.
And I've been enjoying the exploration, so I'm not in any hurry to discover the whole city very fast. So I have a whole year to do it.
Great. Well, I really hope you enjoy your time here. It's going to be fun to see you around and see your experiences of the workshops that are to come. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.